And we welcome Alan Charles to our program, author of the book Walking Out the Other Side. Kind of like your life story and your fight with cocaine addiction.
Yeah, it's a combination. I mean, it tells how I started, where I came from, and there's a lot of causes. I grew up depressed, alone, living behind a mask.
So you had some issues.
Yeah, I had a bunch of issues. Sure.
How many times were you in rehab?
I was in 4 inpatient rehabs and probably about 15 outpatient programs.
15? Yeah. Wow. That could be a record.
In the program, there's people that have me beat, unfortunately.
Wow.
Or fortunately.
Yeah.
In the previous segment, we talked about, you know, when you knew you had a problem and how long you struggled with it. When was there an incident? Was there a moment that either forced you to get help or scared you so much that you went and got it?
Well, I had a bunch of issues and incidents that I knew I needed to get help, and I had gotten help at a bunch of different times. But towards the end, I was going through a divorce in 2007, and I was in court, and I had 2 little girls. And I just could not stop. And I knew that they were going to test me for drugs. My ex, or my wife at the time, had mentioned something that you better be careful. And I came into court and they ended up testing me. And I tested positive for cocaine. And the judge ruled that I could not see my kids or talk to them until I had 6 months of weekly clean drug tests. And at that point, I'm like, I'm never going to see my kids again because I know I can't stop.
Right, right. But there was a point, though, and this might have been in one of the sections of the book near the end where I started to tear up. I couldn't help it.
Okay.
What did your daughter say to you? Or was this after you had...
No, I'd been clean a little bit.
Okay.
And actually, I've been clean 2 years at this point. Mm-hmm. And I'd finally gotten my daughter's first sleepover.
Right.
And my daughter, Jordan, came up to me, and she ran across the room as we were getting ready to go back and me take her back to her mom's house.
Right.
And she said, "Daddy, we need you." And I have my older daughter has autism, and she has a tough time of making, or at the time she did, had a tough time making eye contact. And she came over to me after my daughter did it, and she grabbed me by the face and put her hands around me and said, "Daddy, we need you."
See, that's where I lost right there.
I lost it writing it.
What would you tell somebody that feels like, because I'm sure you felt like you were never going to, like you mentioned just a minute ago, like you were not going to be able to stop no matter what the consequences were. There's got to be a lot of people in that same situation right now. What advice would you give them? I know it's hard to give them advice, but what would you say to them?
I think for me and people that I've spoken to that have overcome and are living a sober life and have been able to stop, somehow deep down you have to believe that no matter what, you're going to get out of the situation, that you never give up. And you have to ingrain and believe that I can get better. Somehow there has to be, even if it's 1%, you have to believe somewhere deep down in your gut that you can get better. Because if you don't, I think it's not possible. Because you can't force an addict to go get treatment. You could take them, but they'll get the treatment, but then they won't get better. You really have to believe that you need the help or you want the help.
How many people tried to help you but couldn't help you because you weren't ready?
Oh, I've 50, 60 different people along the way that said, "Alan, you need to get help, or you need to do this, or I'm divorcing you," or God knows. I lost every relationship. The 24 years that I had this addiction, every relationship, every job, everything that I put in front of me, the addiction and the disease took everything from
me. Now, would you say that your 2 daughters were the main catalyst for just finally being able to stop?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They're a huge part. And my dad, as I mentioned before, died when I was 9 years old. And all I could see was me not being around for my daughters and them having to live and go through what I went through. Right. And eventually that was what helped me.
Ethan, you read the book in what, like a day, right? You breeze through it.
I read slow, so it took me 3 or 4 days.
Right, but it's a good read.
It's a great read.
So where can people get the book, Alan?
Thanks for mentioning that. It's online. WalkingOutTheOtherSide.com is the website. There's links there. It's an audiobook, hardcover, softcover, and ebook. It's available online at Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Before we let you go, talk real quickly about you race horses, which I thought was fascinating.
I've been a professional harness race driver, and I did that actually after I left working here. That's when I started. And
you're a big guy for that.
Well, I was very svelte, and it doesn't matter the size. Okay. It's you just want to be as light as possible.
Right. Isn't that a little dangerous?
I've been hurt. I've been down a couple of times, and after I was in the business for about 8 years, I'd gotten into an accident in a training accident where I was paralyzed for a day and a half.
Well, that's not good.
It's dangerous. But the adrenaline rush of driving a racehorse in a race with other horses and other drivers trying to compete to be the first horse across the finish line is just
Did you race in the mud?
Oh, absolutely.
Where the mud was coming up. That's lovely.
That's cool.
Well, horses sometimes go to the bathroom, too, in the middle of the race.
Nice. So you got pee and all sorts. All right.
Yeah. Well, not the pee, but the other stuff.
I got you. Yeah.
That's a rush, baby.
Uh-huh. That part's not a rush.
That horse duty. It's like, it's not good. Well, I tell you, we want to thank you for coming.
Yeah, thank you.
No, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I remember you very vividly from one of the people I do remember from the 80s.
Yeah, he doesn't remember a lot.
Right.
He doesn't remember a lot of people that come through the building.
But good luck to you. And real quick, the last question I have for you. Is it sometimes do you just have that urge and you know you got to fight that urge?
You know what? I've had enough experience to know that it always ended up bad, no matter. There were many great times, and I'd be lying if I said that I didn't love doing cocaine, because I wouldn't have done it for as long as I did. Right. But fortunately, that obsession has left, and I know that even the slight thought of, wow, I remember that was fun time, it always ended in disaster eventually. Yeah. So I don't. Thank you. Well,
good luck to you.
Thank you.
Good luck with the book, Walking Out the Other Side, available at Amazon and wherever books are sold.
Right. Thanks so much.
Thanks,
guys.
Appreciate it.